Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us and your many gifts to us, especially the gift of Jesus dying on the cross, so that our sins would be covered over. Please give us discernment and the ability to act in a godly manner according to your will and your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. I do think about the battle we are in. As we go through life, often we think about this battle in terms of what we actually do. But the battle really starts before that. It starts in our mind. But there are others who would say it starts in the heart. Well, either way, you know that the battle starts before we act. And in my experience, we have a fraction of a second to get that God-oriented thinking before we act. But it sure isn't much time. We just have to have that very immediate actions. And that's what we do as Christians. We act and think and love in a godly and appropriate way. And we want to stand strong in the Lord as we go through life. And there are times in life when the world sees us and it might have a problem with us. So, sometime we are well received and sometime we aren't. And that's like John 15:18 says, "If the world hates you, know that it hated me, Jesus, first." Yep, so it sounds to me like we who are believers in Jesus Christ are going to have some difficult times because of our faith. And yes, we stand with that truth of Jesus Christ, because there is none greater than the truth in our Bible. If you have read the Bible, you well recognize that there are parts that are literal and completely true, and there are parts that are figurative, and they are completely true. It's just that it takes a little discernment as we read our Bible to grasp the fullness of it, and prayer certainly helps. It is possible that when we look at the overall messages, that's also a good thing. One of them is not to worry. Fear not, or do not worry. Those are repeated messages, and even in the midst of strife. And you know, in the last few years, there has been strife, and Christians have been targeted. I mean, literally, they have been beaten and hung on a wooden cross. I mean, all those things, that has happened. And now we have a situation in Afghanistan where people have been fleeing because they would rather die than stay. And another thing that has happened is the ones who are staying know that they are doing so for Jesus when they're missionaries or when they have a home church. It's just that we have these various situations in life, whether they are as stressful as Afghanistan or whether we are right here where we were born, where we grew up, and we know people and we talk to people and there can still be that little bit of tension, but fear not. Fear not. Well, there are real issues like this going on every day in our life and in the lives around us. It's just the way it is. We cannot ignore the truths of life. They're simple matters in a way, and they help us to discern along the way as we have the troubles and as we have the blessings. Both help us to discern. I know that these days we look at mass media and we see what is going on there. All sorts of things. And there is different information, conflicting information. And we get to discern the truth. And I hope that we use prayer when we are seeking out understanding. I know that lately there have been doctors and researchers who have said this or that, and right now there's so much talk about this vaccine, and is it good or is it not good? Well, mostly we do think it's good because, well, it's said that over 70% of Americans have now taken the vaccine. So, we do trust a lot of what we hear. Certainly, we trust our family doctors. They're so very good at having a rapport with their patients. I know that just about everybody, whether you're a doctor or just a person in whatever your field is, you learn things from people who learn things before you. And so often that's the case with our family physicians too. They do an excellent job of telling you what they understand, why they believe it, and why you should comply with what they're telling you, because they have that experience. And every so often we find out that they are mistaken. And with this vaccine, that is making a lot of people question everything. No doubt doctors have good hearts, but sometimes the science has been mistaken in the past. I mean, if you look at some of the things from 50, 70 years ago, there was, for instance, there was a time when pregnant women were advised to smoke, because that would relax them. That's what was said at the time. But now we know it's not true. And another thing from about that time is there was a thimidolide, and that was given to pregnant women. And as a result of that, there were over 100,000 babies that were born without arms or legs or hands. So the doctors, they tell you what they know, but there's things that they don't know. Even with DDT, see, once upon a time, 50, 60 years ago, DDT was said to be safer for a baby than the mosquito bites that baby would receive if DDT was not used. So these are examples of how we think things are safe, but they find out later that it was not really a good idea. In fact, has been a bad idea. I mean, that's just how it goes. We learn things as we go in science and in life. And so there are people today who have different opinions. And part of the different opinions are about the vaccines that are on the market right now. I do think of that Proverbs 3:5 that says, "Trust in the Lord, and he shall direct thy paths." It's a little more than that, but that's the basic. So I think there's always a question of where do we put our trust? Is it in the Lord and the immune system that He gave us with our bodies? Or is it with science that the doctors and society say we should trust? Well, yeah, we all make our opinions and decisions, and that's how it goes in life. Trust the science, but the science changes. There's another part of the Bible that we can read and understand which talks about not mixing this and that together. For instance, it don't even mix cotton and wool. That's what it says in the Old Testament. And don't mix farm animals. And that reminds me of Noah in Genesis 6:9, and it says, Noah was perfect in his generations. And the commentators say that means Noah was genetically pure. So we have all these little hints at the Bible, and they talk about keeping pure. And so when we take a vaccine that was grown on chicken tissue or pig tissue or cow tissue or organs or whatever it is said that we have a mixture of that put into our blood because of the vaccine that was grown in that media. So science has an argument that the little bit that is in those vaccines will not harm you. So other people disagree, though, and the doctors are of mixed opinions. I know lately there's been one thing that has been talked about with this COVID-19 vaccine, which is, does it really contain graphene oxide? And there are people who have analyzed the vaccine under spectrum analysis and find out that, yes, it does contain mostly graphene oxide. But the vaccine manufacturers say they don't have to tell you what the ingredients are because they are trade secrets. Well, it just makes us wonder, doesn't it? And we do wonder. We ask about why. And it's not like we get answers. But sometimes we get more information. For instance, last month, Japan refused 1.6 million doses of the Moderna vaccine. Why? Because the Japanese officials said that it had metal contamination. Well, we're not quite sure what that means, but that's what they said. And some people draw the parallel of metal contamination to the reports that magnets have stuck to the vaccine point of entry on various people. And it's a question. It's something we just don't know. We have questions, and with the animal and the human tests being skipped, we do not know the long-term effects. All we know is what people speculate about, and they might be right. I mean, we do speculate. That is a part of what humans do. We look at things and try to figure out, for instance, why does graphene oxide have 6 neutrons, 6 protons, and 6 electrons? Well, it's just an interesting question, isn't it? A lot of questions are interesting, and we don't know the answers, but we do seek understanding. We try to understand why this present vaccine has caused so many associated deaths and injuries. And you look back and you look at the swine flu vaccine, and that was recalled because there were 53 deaths caused by it. But for COVID, why? It depends on the researcher. See, this is one of the questions. Who does the research and where do they get their statistics? Well, there are government statistics now that talk about thousands of deaths and thousands, like 8,000 hospitalizations. I mean, there are serious things, but we don't pull this vaccine off the market. Why? Why? Questions, questions, questions. And I don't know them either. It's just, I do question. I question all of it because I don't want people to get hurt. And I know it's a matter of trust. We have trusted our doctors and our medical industry for so long that it's hard to stop. But I do think of, you know, would you trust somebody who had been convicted of some serious crime? That says something about the person. And there is a question of, would you trust Pfizer Pharmaceutical Company, who in 2008 paid the largest criminal and civil fine on record, $3.3 billion. That's with a B. $2.3 billion. That is a huge fine. So, who do you trust? We have this question all the time. Do you trust Pfizer? Do you trust the doctors? Do you trust the government? It's a matter for each one of us to try to figure out. But I do listen to the doctors who have a testimony. I really do. Because they are putting their necks on the line. They are putting their, well, everything on the line if they are speaking out against something. There is a Dr. Brian Ardis, A-R-D-I-S, and he has a presentation. Well, he is a qualified person because he has studied these things, and he was even brought to the German Corona Foundation and spoke to 10,000 doctors. So he does have a reputation. He's well thought in the United States and he obviously in Europe. And he does tell you about what to do if you were jabbed by this vaccine. He talks about Dr. Fauci and demonstrates how Dr. Fauci has a hidden agenda that is deadly. And he talks about the only treatment that is approved is to use resdemir, and that is something that was used in the past for treating malaria. But he says they used studies and put them together to say that they were effective to treating COVID, but there is a question about a 50% mortality rate when using remdesivir. So there's problems all around, and we listen to the doctors who talk about it. Another different doctor is Dr. Michael McDowell, M-C-D-O-W-E-L-L. He spoke on video and said that COVID-19 was also known as SARS-CoV-2. And it was used as an offensive biological weapon. He says that that was released on the public as a tripartite chimera vaccine or virus, and he cites five evidence trails, and he demonstrates that SARS-CoV-2 has been genetically engineered as a weapon. So you have lots of doctors with lots of opinions. Oh, I have to say one more thing about that Dr. Michael McDowell. He says that this vaccine uses a reverse transcriptase process. And reverse transcriptase means that it changes the RNA and it alters the DNA of a person. Now, I've heard conflicting information about that. You have doctors and researchers who say it can't happen. And yet there is a Indian research project that states it can and does happen. It alters the DNA. So this Dr. Michael McDowell makes a presentation and says that, it was Dr. Leonard Horowitz in his book titled Emerging Viruses, AIDS and Ebola. He cites that this can happen. Oh, wow. I used to have that book. And I actually have met Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I've talked with him 3 times. And he makes a really good case. And I do remember some of the things that he says and talks about. He clearly used that term, reverse transcriptase. Anyway, I lost the book when my little house burned down to the ashes. Anyway, this Dr. Michael McDowell, he says you can watch his video, which is called Watchmen in the Night, and you can get some more information about why this COVID-19 vaccine will incubate a super COVID virus in a person's body. So we are in a battle, if all this is true, and that battle is something we have to look to God first for protection from. He does talk about protection in many places in the Bible. I think of Psalm 91, verse 7, it's 1,000 shall fall on one side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near thee. Well, what are they talking about? What shall not come near you? Will it be evil or men or demons or a virus? Well, it's a big question, isn't it? Yes, it is. But we do have to have that faith in God to protect us. And it's a different thing when we have faith in science, isn't it? Good question. Well, there's another person that Dr. Michael McDowell mentioned, and he is Dr. Gert van den Bossche, B-O-S-S-C-H-E. He's a vaccine developer who has developed and promoted vaccines all of his life. He's about age 60 now, but he's created vaccines for many large pharmaceutical companies, and he's worked with, for instance, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. He is a pro-vaccine guy. Strongly he is. But he says, and he shouts out, do not take this COVID vaccine. So here's my overall thought. We have enough people that are so concerned about this COVID vaccine that I absolutely will not take it. And there are plenty of opinions on both sides, but you have strong opinions. And you have the media that is promoting one point of view. Well, it's just all very interesting. I'll tell you about one other video that I saw, and you can look it up too. It is a video testimony of Dr. Rima Lebo. She testified in a 2008 interview from Europe, because that's where her home base is. She treats heads of state and she treats high up UN officials. And she talks about on this video that at one point she was treating a head of state who said to her, it's almost time for the great culling. And she said, oh, what is that? And the answer was, there will be a great effort to terminate 90% of the Earth's population, and a part of it will be done through vaccines. And so the doctor's next question was, how would they, why would they do this? And the answer was, because they are useless eaters, eating up very much of our food. Next question was, who decides this? The answer, the aristocrats decide this. Well, that was a small part of the testimony of Dr. Rima Lebo, who, by the way, was married to the Major General Albert Stubblebine, retired U.S. Army. Well, he's an interesting fellow. He was the head of U.S. Army Intelligence, and I remember coming across a video of him a few years back, and he said that about 9/11, it could not have happened the way the official report said it happened. And right after that, I heard that he was going into a health business, and the next thing I heard was that he had died, all within 1 year of him saying that 9/11 could not have occurred as it was described on the official report. So are we suspicious? Well, yes and no, both. I just think of that old pirate motto, dead man tell no tales. So you just kind of wonder. I mean, that's a truism of history. A lot of people have been eliminated, so they don't talk. It's a truism. Another truism is that the people who are alive after an event rewrite the history about it. You see, all of our textbooks in schools are written by people who lived longer, and they write their own version of history. I have studied history for many, many years, and I remember first in the lower grades of school, you learn things that are easy. It's an easy understanding of the events that occurred. And as you study more, you find out, well, things were really more complex than that. And so we have an understanding of what happened on 9/11. But there again, the events are more complicated than what is described. Oh, there's a group called the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, and they have quite a story to tell. It's not the official story. And there's another 9/11 book by Rebecca Roth called 9/11 Methodical Deception. And it would say the same thing, that the story we are told is not the truth. The people who were there on site, the first responders, the technicians, the waste disposal workers, all of those people have a story to tell, which makes one question the official narrative. There's even a question of, could the phone calls have been made from the planes at that time? Well, you remember the phone calls of the people that were hostages on the airplanes, or well, that takes a little bit of searching. That takes some diligence on our part to try to find out whatever it is. And we do have questions still. I know one of the ones that's obvious is two planes hit the two towers and they collapsed. But no plane hit Building 7, which was a 49-story semi-hardened building, and that also collapsed. And nobody can tell you why. So we just have these questions that really they don't have answers. Not any answers that make sense. And so we have people today who also question this vaccine and will say the answers to the vaccine that you're trying very hard to get everybody to take, they just don't make sense. So that's just a part of all of it. We search for answers. We read the reports. I know I read that 358-page 9/11 Commission report. It didn't answer anything. It was, if there was a definition of gobbledygook, I would include that book. But there are things that we just don't have answers to because they have happened in the past. We don't care anymore. I mean, you look at, we had this holiday. They call it President's Day, but it was used to be Martin Luther King Day also, and where we honored him and John F. Kennedy. You know, a few people remember that there were some scandals associated with those people. And they remember the government, well, they were improper operations that were around those two men. But nobody cares these days because that was 50 years ago. And what about 20 years ago? Nobody cares about the rumors of drugs and deaths that surround the Clintons. And then there was the campaign donations to the Clintons from China. I mean, there are, well, it wasn't from China, it was from China, people who had strong associations with China and the money from China. So there's these things, and a lot of times it's too detailed, and we just don't care. We don't want to look into it. It doesn't matter to our life anymore. But God remembers these things, and the way I see it, God will judge our country one day for the things that have gone on. I look at Genesis 15:16 because it says the fullness of inequity has not been reached yet. And that's why the Amorites had not been judged by God yet. But we've got these things going on in our country, including the 60-some, maybe 70 million abortions. This is against God's will. And when will God judge this nation? We sure do wonder about it. There's people who say babies aren't humans yet. Well, God says in Jeremiah 1 that God formed us before we were born. So we've got worldviews that are quite different, and this is making a great big divide in our country. We have the people who are, in effect, ruling our country. Do we listen to them? Do we listen to our statesmen who have a different morality than the Christian area of people? But I don't think so. Do you remember when the Secretary of State, Henry Kissinger, said, quote, "Military men are dumb, stupid animals to be used as pawns of foreign policy," unquote. So, you know, he was a senior statesman. So do we follow our senior statesmen and what they tell us? Do we follow all the authorities that there are? Or do we follow the Word of God, our Bible? Well, I think we better follow the unchanging Word of God. And while we're doing it, let's remember to show our thankful gratitude to God, for He has given us so very much. And if you do not know Jesus now, I hope that you choose Jesus now, while you are alive, and you can say yes to Jesus. You can make Jesus your Lord and Savior today. Don't wait until the end of your life, because you don't know when that is, but you know that you can do that today, and I hope you do. Well, there's a whole lot of things that we have to deal with, and in a way, I just said, don't wait till you die. We don't know when death occurs. We just don't know, and that's one of the mysteries, and that's why we want to preserve our life for all the time that we can. And we don't know that death won't come quickly when it comes. And we don't know that we won't have a cytokine storm in our brain. See, there are people who say this vaccine will cause many people to have a cytokine storm in their brain. And that is when the electrons are firing off in your brain randomly, without order. And what happens then is it makes a continuous thought process impossible because there's no order to the firing of those electrons in your brain. Is that what this vaccine is doing? I don't know. But I do know there are people who have that condition, and there are doctors who say that this vaccine will bring that about. And me, I just don't want to take any chance. I don't want to be in a zombie-like state, which is what would happen if your brain's not working. Well, we have these issues and we have these questions. And some of the things we can research and some of the things they have not researched well enough yet, so we just don't know. But I just said about zombie-like state, and I do think it's kind of funny how we have had these zombie movies, and we have had police departments that now use paper targets that show zombie-like people. I mean, it's just a curious thing. Why is this happening? I don't know, but there are some professional people and doctors who say that this will happen. We have different opinions. All over society we have them. And by the way, that is causing a division that we just do not need in our society. That's for sure. Will this vaccine cause death? Well, it's just a question, and we don't have the answer, but we have people with opinions. And I do think of that Deagle Intelligence website. I've talked about this before. It says that in 2017, the United States had a population of 330 million. But in 2025, they project the United States population to be less than 100 million. And they don't answer direct questions, but there was one influential person who was able to ask them, and they responded and said, well, it could be a epidemic or some other kind of event. Well, we wonder about it. We sure do. Oh, but you can draw an interesting parallel, and all I can say is that it's a parallel. It makes it curious. See, right now, 70% of the United States population is vaccinated, and that means almost 30% are not vaccinated. And 30% of the U.S. population is about 100 million. Do you get that correlation? That Deagle Intelligence report says that in 2025, the population will be less than 100 million. And 30% of the unvaccinated U.S. population is about 100 million. I don't know. Just makes you wonder. Like I do, I pull these thoughts together and I wonder what makes sense. I don't know, but I wonder. And I wonder about if that COVID-2 or coronavirus or COVID-19, same. But you do have to wonder if it was released as a biological weapon on us. I mean, there are people who say that. And earlier this year, well, there was a television station called Sky News TV out of Australia. And they reported, they reported on a 2015 report made by the CCP, that is the military arm of the Communist Chinese parties. And that report told about a plan to spread a virus to the enemies of China. And in that plan, it said they would tell the world that the virus came from wild animals and that it was spread through the wet market, and then it jumped species into humans. And that was a part of that 2015 report. And that virus would then spread to the countries and cost their enemies very much money and resources as they dealt with the health crises. Well, it's interesting, isn't it? You could sure see where it would be true. It just is sensible. And by the way, the CCP member in China who wrote that report is still getting a stipend in 2021. A stipend, a monetary reward for his valuable work in creating that plan. So, is it a strategy? Is it an accident? Is it an intentional kill-off of the world? Well, of course, we don't know. But we do know what history says, and there's some famous words written by people, and one of them I think of is Thomas Jefferson. He said, "The price of liberty is eternal vigilance." So, how are we doing at that eternal vigilance? Or I should say, how are you doing at that eternal vigilance? Because really, it is a question that individuals have to make. We are responsible for our own personal welfare. So are we being vigilant? And how are we being vigilant? I know there are people who say we need guns and ammunition and weapons. And there are people who say, oh no, you need food and water. I think somehow there's a balance. What do we need? And every one of us gets to figure out what is our balance. But the point is, let us try to be vigilant. And by the way, the reason for guns and ammo in the old days was in case our government became tyrannical. And you know, there are countries that don't let you own guns, like China and North Korea. And now Australia says you can't own guns. And look it, in half their country, they are locking their citizens down. Oh, it's just interesting. It's just interesting, and we have to use the discernment to try to figure out what all of this means to us. There's a lot of people who protest this COVID mandates, that's going on in Germany and France and all over the place. The rulers like to rule, and they tell the people what to do. So are we going to do it? Or are we going to remain free? Isn't that the question for us to ask? You know, the freedom that we really want is the freedom to worship God. And that was what Joseph asked Pharaoh for, the freedom to worship God. And then there was the great exodus out of Egypt by the Hebrew people. So that's something that we have to be aware of today. Are we free to worship God? And about all of us will say yes, but we did have some mandates that were preventing all sorts of things in church, like shaking hands or singing songs with, well, they were all mandates, and they did affect church. And so church attendance has dropped. I wonder what that means. Are we getting convinced of something? Are we believing a lie? Oh, wouldn't I like to know? We will know in a few years. But right now, we do have to ask questions. Hey, speaking of believing of a lie, I'm going to tell you about that testimony that Anthony Fauci gave before Congress. He's you know who he is. He's the medical advisor to many of our top politicians and the president, and he is the director of the National Institute of Health, and so he is a very well-placed person, but he has been accused of lying. Congressman Ron Paul was trying to say that he misstated some facts. In other words, he lied to Congress. And now Congressman Mike Gallagher has said that Fauci lied. And Senator Tom Cotton has said that Fauci lied to Congress, and that Fauci's emails prove it. That there was direct funding that was going to China, and that it was funding things to do that were illegal in the United States. And that's why they had to be done in China. And China was doing all sorts of things that wouldn't be allowed, like creating humanized mice. What a horrible thing. Can you imagine creating mice that had human features? We're doing that. The science researchers are doing those kind of things. And they tell you all the benefits. But I think we sure better be careful that we're not doing some huge abomination to God. Because if that's the case, we are all going to be under judgment. Well, back to Fauci for a minute. This was on the September 5th Sky News out of Australia. It said that Fauci testified to Congress there were only a few directed research projects at Wuhan. And Sky News did some research into that and found out that there were 65 U.S. taxpayer-funded projects going on in Wuhan. So 65 projects, and you have to ask, why were they done in Wuhan? I think a part of the answer is because the research they were doing would not have been allowed to have been done in the United States. And yes, they were taxpayer funded. And you know that makes a pretty big problem. We have some things that are going on in the United States. They are not good, and they are not comfortable. There's a connection with the Chinese that we have to be so concerned with. I'm thinking of a testimony to a congressional committee by the United States Navy Commander of Forces in Central and South America. And he said there were Chinese troops in Mexico, along our southern border. He also said that there were Russian troops in that general area. So, we can call that reliable testimony. Oh, yes, we can. But we have other testimony that's been going on for quite some months that there are Chinese troops on the border of Mexico and on the border of Canada. Now, I would say that it's unreliable testimony, but it is still testimony, and we can look at it as a maybe. A maybe. There's something about what is going on with the Chinese students, and you do have to recognize that every Chinese student that comes to a foreign country has been trained by the People's Liberation Army of China, how to take over communications and disrupt our food and water supply. and they are trained how to kill every man, woman, and child. Well, it doesn't mean that they carry that training with them. I mean, they're people. They might say, that's useless, we don't want to know. But other of them will say, yeah, I will be loyal to my country. Look what they're doing for me. And by the way, I have my family there still. Yes, I will be loyal. So it's a question. It's a question of what it means when there are 500,000 Chinese students in America, 750,000 Chinese students in Mexico, and 1.25 Chinese students in Canada. There are rumors. You know, speaking of rumors, there's rumors of shipping containers filled with arms and ammunition and mortars and missiles coming from China so that these Chinese students can use them. Now, that is rumor. But why did I bother to tell it to you is because I remember a report that I heard over our radio that the U.S. Border Patrol had seized 5 shipping containers after they were in the process of being buried in the Mojave Desert. And those shipping containers contained guns, ammunition, and mortars, and other equipment. Well, I have tried to find that report again, and I couldn't. So can I say it's true? No, I can't. But I remember it, and I remember what people say about what communists do. I have had communist professors, Marxist communist professors, who promote communism. I read their literature. I read what they had to say. Oh, but I also read other literature. I read the John Birch Society literature also. The point is there is a commitment of communist China to expand and to destroy the enemies of China. And one of the enemies of China is America. And America doesn't see it. In fact, America is more and more divided. We would be unable to resist any kind of a rebellion or incursion. It's just that we are too comfortable with everything. But the world is changing. Our whole world is changing. Look, even Saudi Arabia, who used to be so U.S., they just signed a military cooperation agreement with Russia instead of America. So there is real politic going on that is making everything change in our world. I'll just go for one more little thing that I think about, because 20 years ago, there were prophetic people who prophesied that there would be Chinese and Russian troops in America, that they would come to America after a great big earthquake, gigantic earthquake, and then they would not leave when they were asked to leave. And America has signed agreements with China and Russia that if there was a catastrophic event, that we would help one another. And so they are authorized to send their troops into America. Ah, I don't know. I just wonder about it. And I wonder about what any prophetic people say. I don't believe them, but I do remember the things that were said. And so it's a possibility. It could happen. But will it happen? No, I certainly would not say that it will happen. But you know, it's something you can look up. In the past broadcast, I've talked about this a few months ago, and I named the names of the prophets who said that. And it's just a curiosity. I don't mean to say that it is a truism, but it could be. You see, God does speak to people. He still does speak to people. It's just that it's not what we expect. So many people in the Middle East have had a visitation from Jesus in a dream or a vision, and then they become very strong Christ followers. See, God still moves, and we just maybe don't expect what happens, but it is happening. And we need to know that God expects us to be a holy people. We are His, but He does still want us to be holy. There's a passage in 1 Samuel 6 that God struck 50,000 Israelites dead. Why? Because they looked into the Ark of the Covenant, and they had been previously told not to look into it. See, this is one of the standards of holiness that God puts forth. And of course, God is grace also. And we get to figure out that we want to do the best we know how to do as we are holy in God's eyes. It is His holiness that we want to be a part of, not anything to do with what man calls either good or worthwhile or anything like that. We go through life and we see plenty of things that man calls good. Man understands why you would do something that God says don't do. And we just don't want anything to do about it. We want to stay away from it completely. And we want to be holy because God wants holiness. And that is what we therefore want also. I know I think of Revelation 18 sometime and the conditions that are going on with that unholiness. I think of how can it be that men would sell the souls of other men? But it does happen. It happens if you look around and you see the kind of trade that's going on. There's some terrible, terrible things going on. And we Christians, Christ followers, must oppose evil wherever we can. Sometimes we pray and sometimes we act in a prayerful manner. Well, we want to be consistent in what we do in our choice for God and Jesus. We want to consistently pray for others. We want to pray for the light and the love and goodness of Jesus Christ, that He completely prevails over everything in our world. We want Him to rule, and we want to submit ourselves to His will. Well, today I have spoken on this broadcast names and given information. If you want to look it up, you can listen to the broadcast again by going to www.christtoday.org, and that's all lowercase and no spaces. You would just click on where it says with John Stephenson, and here we are in September. It is the National Preparedness Month, and this is the 9/11 broadcast. There are always unknown reasons to prepare, and I hope you do. For preparedness ideas, you can write me, send me a stamped self-addressed envelope, and I will send back to you my preparedness pamphlet. Send it to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. So may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.